Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, it would seem somewhat fitting on a regular Theology Thursday here on the show. And this is Steve Noble, by the way, coming to you live. This is the Call to Action Radio Network. So God has blessed us on in 13, I think maybe 14 states now. So that's pretty cool. And that's all God's work. We're just trying to hang on and be obedient. But on Theology Thursday, it would seem fitting, to say the least, to talk about why study the Bible? What kind of authority does it have? What kind of value does it have? How can it impact our lives? And then why do it? And then how to do it? And so Southeastern, they're getting ready for the big annual Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas. And so they've got people all over the world right now and all over the country. It's kind of a crazy time of transition in Southeastern. So my first choice in going outside of the seminary today was somebody that for me personally, is one of the best Bible teachers and a leader in terms of understanding Scripture and applying Scripture and how to get through Scripture. That's been a part of my life for the last, well, gosh, how long now, Jim? Has it been?
Man, it's been
13 years?
Since you came here.
It's been a while.
You rocked into this town.
Since I came here. It kind of blew up. Yes, and Jim and I have not always been fond of one another. I think I can put it that way. But an incredible grasp on God's word, and Jim and I go to this thing that's called the Friday Morning Bible Study here in Raleigh, North Carolina. It's been around for about 35 years now. Danny Lotz started it. Danny Lotz, most of you would know because of his wife, Ann Graham Lotz, who, of course, is the daughter of Billy Graham, and Danny's now in heaven. And so this thing he started, and it's factually a Bible study. I think it's a testimony time, and people share based on a passage of Scripture. But Jim Young, who's here with us today, who's the founder and the president emeritus of Capital Commission, who you hear on just about every day on the show on the commercial breaks, when you hear talking about pray1tim2.org, that's Capital Commission, which I throw at you guys all the time to make sure that you're being obedient to God's word to pray for those in authority over you. And Capital Commission was founded and run for a while by Jim, and he's just stepped down now. He's the president emeritus. And so on Friday morning, if Jim jumps into the conversation, we know we're going to have to hold our place in the Bible for the Scripture we're at that day, because we know when Jim starts talking, we're going to go somewhere else in the Scriptures. And so it's just been a delight to be around that and to be around that teaching, Jim. And it's great to have you here today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Sorry for that long-winded introduction. So, and again, just to remind everybody, Jim is one of the most passionate followers of Christ and really knowledgeable about his word of anybody I've known over all these years. But why are you? I mean, let's just start off there, because that'll take us into your own story. Why are you so passionately committed to the word of God?
Well, Steve, for sure, it's because the word of God is what brought me to a place of knowing Jesus Christ. I was challenged back in 1974 by a man that I met playing touch football and roughing up one another. And at one time he called me into his office and he said, I understand you're a Christian. At that time in my life, I certainly thought I was, because I wasn't Jewish and I was born in America.
There you go.
So that made me as Christian as I could be at that point. So he said to me at that point, sitting there in his nice office, he said, well, then you must believe this book. And he pointed down to a Bible. And I said, well, sure. And he said, well, that's good. And then he reached up on a shelf behind him and he pulled a book out that I never saw before. And he said, do you believe this book? And because we'd become a little competitive, I knew he had me already, because I said, well, I don't know. And why is that? He said, I said, well, I never read it. So that went on to, well, did you ever read this book that you just told me you believed, to really understand it?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, well, a few spots here and there. He said, well, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You're a corporate executive, and you just told me you believe a book you never read. So again, because of the competitive nature we had, my response was quickly, okay, I'll read it. Where do I start?
Right, I'll take you up on your challenge.
So what happened, I said, where do I start? And he already had that prepared, the Gospel of John. And he said, I want you to start in verse 1 of John chapter 1. He showed me where it was. I said, well, I didn't know that much. I knew a little bit about the Bible. And he said, I want you to ask just two questions. Who is Jesus? Well, he said, you could add a third question. Does it matter to you who he is? He says, and if you say no to that, you might as well quit. But the third question is, what's he want to do for you? Mm. And so as I began to read it, and Steve, this took over 6 months of reading, getting angry, putting it down, picking it up, putting it back down.
Just the Gospel of John?
That's the only place I went at that point.
Wow.
But I really came to a place where I C.S. Lewis has said it. I didn't know the wording for it then, but I concluded that Jesus was either, must be a liar, or he is crazy, and so are the people that follow him, or he is who he said he was. So at some point, asking questions, seeing a testimony from my wife, I came to a place where I decided he was Lord. I didn't have any problem understanding I was a sinner. That wasn't difficult.
Yeah.
And so from that point on, my life changed. I didn't know bells and whistles, no special gifts that I thought I was supposed to have, nothing like. I just knew that Christ was who he said he was. If he was king and he was Lord, this scripture was inspired by him, and I wanted to follow it. And I can't explain it. Nothing fancy about that.
Yeah.
I had no needs in my life at that time. Very successful corporate businessman, healthy family, healthy finances, everything. There was no need for me to make that
turn.
Yeah,
you weren't some desperate guy on your deathbed or whatever.
Just challenged by the Word of God.
Yeah.
So today, in all these years since 1974, I find myself convinced that I've never doubted what the Scripture says. I don't understand it all, but I don't doubt that it's true and inspired by God.
And so from that rather humble beginnings and just kind of chewing through it and being intellectually honest enough to fight those questions, and it's true, it does come down to that, liar, lunatic, or Lord, as C.S. Lewis said, did your passion for studying it, because that's what led you to salvation in the first place, did it kind of stay, or did it ebb and flow? Because at this point, I mean, it's amazing how much scripture, you know, we'll talk about the navigators and how you kind of acquired all this, but your passion for it, was it, it started then and it stayed with you?
Well, you know, when you find a Lord of your life and you know that he is speaking to you and wants a relationship with you, and he, you know, it's like falling in love with a woman and not having passion for her, you know. And for me, it was falling in love with Christ and wanting to have time with him that helped me understand who he was. But then get the big picture.
Yeah.
You know, the big picture of who God Almighty was.
Yeah, we're going to go down all these roads. And that was, what year was that again, your conversion?
1974.
1974, so we're going to move from 1974 to 2018 rather quickly. We're going to talk about the authority of God's Word, the value of God's Word, our responsibility with God's Word, why study it, why pray. What about praying the Scriptures, and how do you understand it and then apply it, and what it can allow you to do as you look out at this crazy world? This is Steve Noble with Jim Young. We'll be right back. Because you are more than I could ever. Welcome back. It's the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. TheSteveNobleShow.com is the website. Join us on Facebook as well. We do Facebook Live every day here in the studio. And even when I'm on the road, we did Facebook Live just the other day from an adult and teen challenge facility here in North Carolina with some guys that are dealing with and recovering with addictions. And was at the Museum of the Bible last week. And in a couple of weeks, we'll be at AT&T Stadium in Dallas where we're going to be doing a Harvest America with Pastor Greg Laurie. So the show goes all over the place, and just about every time, no matter where I'm at, you can be there too, live video via Facebook Live. So just go to our Facebook page, jump on Facebook, just in the search box, put Steve Noble Show, N-O-B-L-E, and you'll find it, and you can join us that way. And we continue to have conversations while you on the radio, while you're listening to commercials. And there's great things out there. I'm running spots during the commercial breaks and everything, too. On Facebook Live, we kind of have a sidebar conversation. We don't rob Peter to pay Paul. I don't pull from the conversation that you're hearing on the radio. We just have a separate one. So it's really become a neat little community there. So if you want to join us, Steve Noble Show on Facebook, you'll find it. And just jump over there and join us on Facebook Live. Talking today with my good friend Jim Young, who is the founder and now president emeritus of Capital Commission. CapitalCom.org is that website. CAPITOL. Do you know the difference, Jim, between spelling capital with an A and spelling capital with an O?
The O represents the building itself and all those who are inside of it.
And most of us
and
don't
the,
know
and
that.
The city is represented by AL.
Capital Commission, and oftentimes you guys hear me speak about it. Speaking of commercial breaks, you hear a, a 30-second spot about PrayOneTim2.org, which is a great part of this ministry, which depending, regardless of what state you're on. So if you're listening out there in Kansas City, or you're in Indianapolis, or you're in Albuquerque, New Mexico, or you're in San Francisco, you can go to PrayOneTim2.org, find your state, click on it, sign up for an email. And every day you'll get an email bright and early with several people from your state legislature to pray for, as well as people on the national level, so that you can be obedient to what God has called us to, is pray for those in authority over us. So whether you like Trump or not, or whether you like your senator or not, or whether you voted for your state representative or not, you're supposed to be praying for them. So PrayOneTim2.org. And Jim and I go back about 13 or 14 years when Call to Action started in 04. We were aggressive, to say the least, and we're just pounding state representatives in the House and the Senate down in our state house here in North Carolina, and didn't exactly have a lot of patience and didn't exactly show a lot of love. And that was me leading that charge. But Jim with Capital Commission is on the inside trying to minister to these people and share the gospel with them while a bunch of angry Christians are pounding him from the outside. So it's a bit of a challenging environment. But God has done a great work over the years, and whereas I think we were a little bit at odds back then, we're as close as brothers now, and I just thank you for that and your patience with me and sharing all that wisdom over these years. But Jim is a consummate teacher of God's Word and passionate about it, so we're talking about that all the way back in the mid-70s and challenged by another business guy. If you say you're going to follow this guy and you've never read the book, that's kind of ridiculous, which is a lot of people in America. Then you're developing this passion and understanding of God's Word, because if it's true, it has ultimate and universal meaning. So kind of take us from there in terms of how your study and your passion developed, because I know the Navigators Ministry gets into this story as well.
Yeah. Oh, actually, the guy that talked to me about the scriptures was a pastor, a Baptist pastor outside of Philadelphia. Mm. But we played touch football together, and he invited me to be a part of his life. He wasn't the Baptist pastor I thought.
Yeah.
He was a regular guy that loved me and brought me to a place where he's still pastoring at 80 some years old up in Manchester, New Hampshire. Hope to see him this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, that's almost another story. So the conversion took place in 74. I don't have a date, and I think for those of you who get a little uptight about not having a day in which you had this event or walked an aisle or whatever, mine was progressive to a place where I remember I probably prayed and asked God for forgiveness more than one time, and went through that whole process of receiving, as it were. You know, John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become children of God. And so I realized that I wasn't a child of God, and I needed to receive this Christ into my thinking process. To know who he was. There's questions about, does he come into your heart? Well, he comes into some place. He comes into your being.
Yeah.
He comes into your soul. He's all that you are. So the Spirit of God fills you with his presence, and you begin to love the Word of God. And I don't think, it's hard for me, like we look at the passages in Hebrews, it's hard for me to think about being a believer and not having a hunger for the Word of God, for that milk of the Word.
Well, a lot of believers don't.
Oh, they don't.
So how do you think that happens? Why is it that so many people that actually are saved, are born-again Christians, don't have, since we're in the South, don't have a hankering for the Word of God?
No, I'm not sure. I would have to sit back and many times question whether they're really in the kingdom or not.
Yeah.
Because it's hard to think and say, but there is a cultural born-againism in our nation, and it's prevalent in the South.
Absolutely.
You can walk it out at 5 years of age and think you're saved, and God has no part in your life at all, except you're a moral person as best you can be in order to keep up a front.
Yeah.
And you go to church because that's what your family did, and that's where businesses take place, and people admire that. It's a cultural norm. And I didn't have that, so.
Yeah. Well, tell us about the Navigators, because I know this factors in. This is an enormous factor in your becoming a student of the Word of God and studying for yourself and then being able to teach others and lead others to do the same.
Yeah, in 76, prior to that, I decided that if I could run a company, I could run a church. That was kind of foolish. I decided I needed to go to seminary. For one reason or another, ended up with this guy that led me to Christ, invited me to move to Philadelphia in the process, and I began to work in his church. And in the process of that, I was introduced to a man with the Navigators who's still a dear friend and has been with Capital Commission. And I never heard of the Navigators, but we met him, and He shared a passage with me. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "The things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit the faithful men who be able to teach others also." There's four generations in the passage. And what happened was that I realized that my business success was about that. Mm-hmm. If you have a good product and a good people, you're going to have a successful business. I realized that the gospel was now the best product there was, and good people were needed to share it. And so it began with Christ, and it gets given to the disciples. In a sense, we're now his disciples. Our responsibility is to teach others. They multiply and take it everywhere else. The Navigators are known for scripture memory and for being men of the word. And this guy, this is hard for some people to believe, but he's basically memorized the whole Bible. He's 83 years old today. He swims for an hour and a half and reviews chapters. So he'll tell me he's working on Philippians, and now he's working on Colossians and on Romans. And then he talks about the old. We used to travel together. He'd take me. We wouldn't go anywhere by ourselves. It's always another man in your life. And as we would travel, he would just say, "Jim, open to 1 Samuel. Let's begin there and work our way through it." And one day, I went up to borrow a car in Philadelphia. I was living another place then. This is after I was on with the Navigators. And I got into his car, and there's a whole pack full of verses laying on the – but they're in Greek.
Wow.
So now he's memorizing them in Greek. Anyway, the guy challenges me to read through the Bible every year, and I'm up to speed this year. But he texts me the other day and says, "Well, I've gotten through the first time. I'm going to go ahead and use the notes this time." And
well, it's the important thing that I pull away from that, and this has been true in my own life. It's amazing when you start to surround yourself by people that are way more mature, way more knowledgeable about God's word, that somehow you kind of get caught up in that. And they start leading by example, and you start seeing the fruit of that kind of life. How do you get into it? We're going to talk about that with my friend Jim Young when we come back right up. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, just go to Facebook and throw Steve Noble Show right there in the search box, and you can join us there. Like the page while you're at it. That way you'll get little notifications when we go live every day here on the radio. And we're talking to a good friend of mine, Jim Young, who's the founder and president emeritus of Capital Commission, which does a great gospel work to our elected officials in state capitals around the country. How many states now, Jim?
23.
23 states, and with Bible studies and prayer and just personal evangelism and personal discipleship and just loving on these people that so many of us just see them as the enemy, but no, they're people who have inestimable worth because they're made in the image of God, and you share the gospel and love on them despite your political differences and what they're doing in their job versus what you think they should be doing. And that had a huge impact on my life as an involved Christian, somebody that loves the country, loves God and the kingdom more. But I didn't look at especially liberals or Democrats. They were the enemy to me. But technically and theologically, I only really have one true enemy, and that's Satan himself. And he's not one of those people down there in the legislature. So Jim has had a tremendous impact on my life, but especially in another way with just a love for the word of God, memorizing scripture and studying scripture and studying it accurately and appropriately. So that's why we're talking to him today on the show. And we were talking about Navigators a little bit. Then I want to dive into some of this information about the word that you've prepared that I want to make sure we spend an appropriate amount of time on. But was there anything else about Navigators just in terms of its impact? And then we'll dive into some of this.
I think the phenomenal love for one another. I was telling you at our Facebook time that I came back yesterday. There's three other Navigator guys, and now we've added four to it a number of years ago. But three of us began to go away on a golf trip the weekend before or week before Memorial Day. We've been doing it for 34 years.
Wow.
34 years.
That's so cool.
We'd play 54 holes a day. Now we play 18 a day, and we're worn out after 4 days of playing golf.
Of course.
But the thing about the sweetness of it is not just necessarily the golf. We all love it, but it's the phenomenal time. Even though we don't see each other, California, Chicago, Raleigh, Michigan, we don't see each other all year. We have some emails back and forth on occasion. We keep in touch if there's issues with kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. But there's a spirit of camaraderie, of oneness, that's all around the Word of God and Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That's all. I mean, you don't have a conversation without it involving ministry.
Yeah, it's temporal bond and an eternal bond.
I mean, we got taught a whole session. One of the guys says, I have a session, and it's all about taking Christ into the workplace. I can't wait to introduce it. You go into a typical church today of whatever size and ask what percentage of those people are in the workplace.
Yeah, 99.
Yeah, so what about reaching the workplace? I mean, that could be another whole program to talk about.
Yeah.
What are we going to do to get the church mobilized to reach the workplace?
Right, because that's where we spend our time.
All around the world. So the navigators just, there's a camaraderie and a oneness. You know, you don't find many people who are ex-navigators. In a lot of other ministries, you find a lot of ex, you know, but the people with the navigators are with the navigators all the way. And the retirement is almost, you know. We talked about a few times, and he's passed away before we got him on the show, but he made it to 104.
Yeah, pretty
good. Guy Jim Downing. And Jim Downing will share the last time he spoke to us was just last summer. One of the things he told us to remember is LWGW, last word, God's word. Mm-hmm. If you have trouble sleeping at night, use the word of God to go to sleep. The last word that day should be God's word.
That's awesome. We gotta like that.
Last word, God's word.
Well, let's go through some of this. This is great teaching material, and we're gonna use the word to kind of talk about the word. So, you want to just kind of go through these? We talk about the authority of God's word, the value of God's word, and then our responsibility with God's word.
Okay. Well, under the authority, we know out of 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired by God. God breathed, and I think that just let me speak to that for a second, because one of the things that's helped me in my relationship with God and the hard things that happen in life. Is that I'm able to see him as the Father. I have a paternal relationship with God the Father. And he breathed into the life of men. You know, we see in 2 Peter 1:21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit moved in those men's lives, but we see their personality, we see their thinking come through, but God took what he instilled into their spirits and gave it to them, and through their personalities, they wrote it. And we see that the Scriptures speak like that. So we need to realize that under the area of authority, the first reason it's inspired by God. And when we look at 2 Timothy 3:16 and we think about it as a father instructs a child, all Scripture is inspired by God is profitable for teaching. So a good father teaches his kids first.
Right.
And then it says for reproof. So when the kids mess up, you know, the father's responsibility is to discipline them first, reprove them. But then it says for correction. And so the third thing that happens after the reproof is, son, this is the way that should have been done.
Yeah, get back onto the right path.
And now the instruction for righteousness says go back out there and do it. Maybe it's cutting the grass. Maybe it's doing whatever it is. You know, you teach them how to do that. And then anyway, so I realized that as a father, that word of God is his word to me. Every time I open it, God, the creator of the universe, Steve, is talking to us.
Yeah, amazing.
Why in the world would I not be passionate about reading it and studying it?
That's a great question. And then to your next point, the standard of truth, which is a big deal. This is how I found studying the Bible over all these years becomes the standard of truth in my life and in my mind. So when I encounter the world, music, movies, and conversations, politics, whatever, it's all filtered through there. So that becomes the standard by which everything's judged.
Right. So that's the second authoritative reason why I should, you know, sanctify them through thy truth. Set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I can't distinguish error without knowing truth.
Yeah, a huge aspect. Yeah. Endures forever. I love this.
Yeah. Well, 1 Peter 1:24-25 goes on to say that all flesh is as grass, and all the glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls off. The word of the Lord abides forever, and this is a word which was preached to you. That's all a little funny thing about the grass. The grass is sown, grown, mown, and gone. And but the word of God, the word of God gets sown into our hearts, and it grows.
That's awesome.
But it's never gone.
Yeah, very good. And then, of course, verified by Jesus himself in terms of the authority of God's word.
Yeah, well, he says that in Luke 24:44, he says to them that the word, this is when they're walking on the road to, you know, not the road to Emmaus, when they're walking and the disciples are walking and he shows up with them and they say, get all these words together. he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Mm. He speaks about himself. He verifies the word. That takes care of this little controversy about the Old Testament.
Right. That's for sure.
What are we going to do with that? You know?
You can't unhitch yourself from anything Jesus has said.
That's right.
And then people go, "Well, Jesus never said that." And actually, according to John chapter 1, it's pretty much all him.
That's right.
Old and new. So you got to get around that. Let's jump over to this next kind of subsection in what we're talking about, which is the value of studying and knowing God's word, because we're always kind of value-driven people, right? That's the world that we live in, especially as Westerners. What's in it for me? What's the point? What's the value? Why should I pay money for that? So let's unpack this. So, of course, the first point you put here under the value of the word and studying the word is for knowing Christ himself.
Right. Yeah, Luke 24:27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And that was the Old Testament.
So let me throw this at you, because when I'm studying the word, or when I'm just in prayer, when I'm just trying to be quiet and listen to God, and people, that can sound sort of mystical to people, is hearing from God. I know when I'm hearing from God, when all of a sudden scripture's just showing up in my head. Because isn't that, for me as a human being, isn't the language that God speaks to me God's word?
If it's something else, you better watch out.
So that's the way I've always put it, though, is that God speaks to you through his word.
Right.
So when I'm sitting there and I'm encountering a situation, all of a sudden scripture starts coming into my mind. At this point in my walk, I'm like, my father's talking to me right now. And I know he's talking to me because I know his word. Is that right?
Oh, I think that's correct. And I think that, I don't know that, I think a young believer who doesn't know that much can still experience God speaking to him, sure. Not audibly, but as a person, it feels audible to you.
Yeah.
Because you've got this sense. I mean, how many times have you or I been led to do something by the Holy Spirit and we don't do it? Then later we realize, I really missed that.
Yeah.
And you got to repent. You know, Lord, I missed it.
That's when we grieve him.
That's right. Yeah. So.
And those good works prepared in advance that you should walk in them. And sometimes I don't choose to walk in them. And then you walk by, you look back and you go, oh man, I should have done that.
Missed that point.
Yeah, missed it. But then there's always another one. Okay, for growth, I think this is obviously a huge issue.
Yeah, Acts 20:32, which is a great word to just leave with people, and that's what Paul was doing. He says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to," what? It says, "build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." So we grow through that. I mean, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word. You know, we grow in our walk with God, but most importantly, we grow in our relationship with God through listening to his word.
Yeah, that relationship grows when you communicate one to another. Just ask your wife or just ask your husband why they want you to talk to them. That's how your relationship grows. So we're talking about the value of God's word with Jim Young, who is the founder and president emeritus of Capital Commission and just a great teacher of God's word and lover of God's word. So we're in the value section right now. We just talked about victory. We talked about guidance and then our responsibility to know it, meditate on it, obey it, and share it. We'll be right back.
I got a message, I got a song, can I get a witness, tell me what's going on, show the people.
Welcome back, it's the Steve Noble Show, great to be with you today. Theology Thursday, which we do every week on the show, and our friends here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, which, just so you know, is the largest seminary on the East Coast, one of the preeminent seminaries actually on the planet. And we've been doing Theology Thursdays together for about 4 years. But every once in a while, they'll go through a season. They've definitely been in one lately. At the end of a semester, going into the summer, they do a big thing at the annual Southern Baptist Convention, which this year is in Dallas. So that's when our schedule with them gets a little bit squirrely. So we weren't able to grab one of the professors here for today's Theology Thursday. So I went to the next best thing, and in some ways even a better thing, of my good friend Jim Young, who's the founder and president emeritus of Capital Commission, which is an outstanding ministry to state capitals and to our elected officials with the gospel, with prayer, with Bible study. Not there to go after their politics, to go after their hearts, and then God will deal with their politics and with their mind and with their thinking. But now in 23 states, is that right, Jim?
23 states.
23 states. CapitalCom.org, that's capital with an O, com.org. But even more so, I want you to visit Pray1Tim2.org. You're going to be like, that sounds familiar. Yep, that's because you hear a little 30-second spot every day during the commercial breaks on this show, urging you and challenging you and encouraging you to go to Pray1Tim2.org, sign up for your state, so that each morning you'll get an email so you can start praying for people, half of which you probably hate. And it's helpful to pray for them. You'll be amazed at what happens to your heart. And by the way, I love the fact that when I get my Pray 1 Tim 2 org email every morning, it doesn't tell me what party they're in. It just gives me a name, a picture. And oftentimes, sometimes, Jim, I'll pray for them. If it's like Jim, I'll call him Jimmy. If it's Barbara, I'll call her Barbie. And I think of them like children sometimes because they're, you know, I know the Lord loves them and cares about them. I don't know who's, some of them I know who are saved. Most of them I don't. It's just been a huge blessing to me to be able to pray for them. And it's really had an impact on my heart, which has been great. But we're talking today just about the Word of God. And Jim is a passionate lover of the Word of God, a great teacher of the Word of God, a great sharer of the Word of God. And so we're walking through this. I just shared kind of his outline on Facebook, our Facebook Live today. So just go to Facebook and just in the search box, just put Steve Noble Show. You'll find us and you'll see it in the notes today from the Facebook Live broadcast, which is what we've been working through. We talked about the authority of God's word, inspired by God, standard of truth, endures forever, verified by Jesus, the value of God's word for knowing Christ, for growth, for victory. And then we're going to talk real quick about guidance, and then we're going to talk about our responsibility with respect to God's word. So what about guidance? This is a big deal starting in Psalm 119.
Yeah, well, let me jump to victory for a minute because all of us don't want to slip. We don't want to mess up. And Psalm 37:31 says, the law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. Mm. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
His steps do not slip because the law of his God is in his heart.
Awesome.
And then guidance, Psalm 119:9-11, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word. Thy word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So the guidance we need is there. We need to know how to, and we need to know how to understand our culture. I mean, we need to be guided into understanding what a lost person, you know, you've shared, Steve, many times that whole about the blind man and so forth and so on, stepping on your foot. But we need to understand it. Let me give you a verse that's stuck with me lately, Ephesians 4:18-19. It says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from God because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardness of their heart.
Yeah, man.
Now, when I'm trying to deal with whether he's a politician or a businessman, whoever it is, and I know he's lost, I need to first love him, and I need to understand there's no possible way. 1 Corinthians 2, same thing. The unregenerate man cannot understand the things of the God.
That's right.
So why am I surprised? Why do I get mad at somebody that has no idea how to act?
To get mad and frustrated with them is, number one, unloving, and number two, just stupid.
Yeah. And I never realized that. That verse says that, Paul says that it's because of the ignorance in them.
Yeah,
they're ignorant of the things of God because they have a hard heart. Anyway, that's...
I liken that to, let's say I wake up tomorrow morning, I look to the east, and gosh darn it, there's the sun again. And I throw a temper tantrum because it's coming up in the east again. And this is like day number 4,974.
And the house you bought, you thought was going to be facing the other way.
Right. And what an idiot I am because I'm refusing to accept reality. The reality is that lost people are lost. And so they think like it just like I used to. But let's go into responsibility. We're gonna land today. This is a big deal for all of us as individual followers of Christ. If we say we're followers of Christ, we confess the name. Then our responsibility to know it, meditate on it, obey it, and share it. So let's start with know it.
Well, I can always think about Ezra 7:10. It says, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and then to practice it and then to teach it in Israel and all over. Right? So he prepared his heart to study it so he would know it, so he could share it. So it kind of flows through this. So our responsibility to know, I mean, why would we study if we didn't want to know it? And why would we want to know what the God of the universe has to say to me?
Right, right.
So knowing it, obviously, and then meditating on it. Jeremiah 15:16 says, Jeremiah says, thy words were found that I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I mean, I get excited about food. I mean, I really do.
Amen, brother. I'm right there with you. Northern, Southern, Eastern, I don't care where you're from.
Yeah, and with these guys this past...
I'm good on food.
These past trips. Man, we just... they got an ice cream place up there that's beyond comprehension.
Yeah, they'll be gluttony.
So when I think about the reality of loving food, do I love the word? Thy words were found that I did eat them. I ingested them into who I am all the way, and I love doing it. So that's the idea of meditating. And then Colossians 3:16... talks about anyway. We'll go on for something else. I can't remember that verse.
No, but with meditate though, and sometimes if they go, what does it mean to meditate on God's word? And practically, what does that look like? If you're going to teach me how to meditate on God's word, Jim, what do I do?
Well, you know, the word has to do with regurgitating, like a cow,
like a cow chewing
chews
the
his cud.
Mm, 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 mm.
If you are memorizing scripture, you can't help but meditate on it because for me to meditate, I got to take a little phrase at a time. This book of the law. Okay, this book of the law. That's where I got to stop. And then I go on to the next, you know, shall not depart from thy mouth. So then you go on from there and you take a section of the verse at a time to memorize it, and then you eventually put it all together. Well, you can't do that once. You have to keep bringing it back up and bringing it back up and bringing it back up.
Go back to it.
I had some rules I used to apply to my scripture memory and so forth, but in fact, they helped. They helped. But I would make little cards, put them up in my dash, and I could remember missing exits because I was meditating on this verse I was trying to memorize. So I think its familiarity comes from meditation.
Yeah.
And only in meditation do you get application, and that's the next thing is the idea of applying it or obeying it. You know, James 1:22 talks about the word being like a mirror. I mean, why would I look in the mirror and then go away and not fix what I saw?
Yeah, you're a fool.
I can't fix most of it anymore, but you can at least but you can at least realize that's what you're there for.
Sure,
you
yeah.
know. And so that would be the obeying part of it. But the exciting thing, you asked me earlier on Facebook, what excites me about the word, and it's sharing it. You know, and Deuteronomy 6, this is a powerful section. It says, these words which I command you today shall be on your heart. Realize how many times we talk about the heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons. Talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And the guy who discipled me with the Navigators, the word of God was always a part of what we did. We were serving next door, and we were raking leaves. What are we doing? Two or three guys, he's disciples. We're all reviewing verses. What do you think about what that says? Well,
yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
You don't ever, I mean, all he does, he sends an email out to like 60-some of us every day. I got my grandsons getting stuff from him.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to just fill them with that same idea, the Word of God. And so I wasn't as good probably as even some guys on Friday morning are with keeping their kids in the Word of God. And I think it can't become something that's drudgery for kids.
Sure.
They've got to realize that it's what you do. That's why I don't like the idea of using our phones for our text, because when kids see the Bible and us reading it, they know we're in the Bible.
Right.
If they see us with our phone open,
they don't know.
They don't know what we're doing.
That's a great point.
I think it should be used. I don't like it
Grab
up front.
Paper
I don't
Bible.
Like the iPads. It needs to be the book with the pages open,
like that.
So that anybody else sees that you're reading the Bible.
Yeah, the challenging thing about obeying it is you got to remember, we think, well, I'm free from the law. Well, hold on a second. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commands.
That's
which
right.
is a way of him loving us in reverse. I tell my kid, don't do this and don't do that. Why? Because I'm capricious and bored and just like to lord it over them? No, because I actually know from experience and wisdom that if they do those things, they're going to harm themselves. And because I love you, I don't want to see you harm yourself. And that's exactly what God is doing.
That's right.
Hey, Steve, do this because it's good for you. Don't do that because you're going to harm yourself and you're going to harm others. That's all flowing out of the love of the Father.
Right. And the last word, I guess, for me today would be to say, study the Scriptures. Don't study the notes that some commentator wrote. It's interesting when Paul was in Berea, he says of the Bereans to the. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. These Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the Scriptures daily find out whether what I said was true.
Yeah.
And so we can get caught. I meet so many people and realize that their understanding of Scripture is so biased that they'll never see something different than what they heard somebody teach.
Yeah.
So our responsibility, he was kind of putting down the Thessalonians because they must have believed anything he said.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
they didn't test anything.
So some guys and some churches and some denominations want us to believe everything they said, but we need to go to the Scriptures. Psalm 119:18 says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things from thy word. I pray that every morning, every time I open the book.
Wondrous things from thy word, because they're there and he wants us to experience it. And then, of course, don't keep that to yourself. Don't put your light under a bushel. That's stupid. You got to let your light so shine right before men.
Absolutely.
And then one way to do that is to live it, obey it, know it, and share it and teach it to others as well as you teach it to yourself. Jim Young, always a blessing. Thanks so much for coming in today and helping us study this and understand this. It's been a great blessing. It's always great to see you.
Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. We'll be back tomorrow. We had a little technical problem yesterday, so tomorrow we will have the state senator from Iowa who is brave enough to offer up the really historical pro-life legislation that's there, designed specifically to go at the heart of Roe versus Wade and end up in front of the Supreme Court. So we'll have him on the show tomorrow with us live, and then we're talking about some other pro-life articles and other things going on around the country. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show, and God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.